Okay, what's the number one reason you should try Instacart? Shopping over 1.5 million unique products from over 1,000 retailers and get everything delivered right to your door in as fast as 1 hour, all in one app. So you can spend more time with the ones who matter most. Visit instacart.com to get free delivery on your first three orders. Offer valid for a limited time. $10 minimum per order. Additional terms apply.
So are we supposed to start the podcast?
1, 2, 3. I feel like that was a lot of good going into it, but I wasn't super loud.
You know what prevents you from being a great clapper?
My boobs.
Yeah.
That was
better.
Good.
That was better. It's better. What's going on?
How are you today?
I'm great. Excellent. Really happy. I'm happy to be here with you, to spend time with you.
That's so nice. Mm-hmm. Even though you're so mean to me.
That is such bullshit.
Okay, I just have to say that we've gotten some comments that people are going back to the headband episode.
Yeah.
Because it was horrific.
Yes.
And one commented, Jennifer is not her friend. Because she let me keep that on.
Here's the thing. Like, sometimes I think something so shocking happens to people. Like, when I saw that you arrived to a room that you knew there were going to be three cameras on you, and you had that headband on with hair hanging out of it, I was so shocked. And it was breathtaking and alarming and jarring. And I just thought, wow. I mean, I know she doesn't give a shit, but this is kind of next level. So I thought, if she doesn't give a shit, why should I give a shit?
Yeah, that's probably true.
Because most of the time I tell you something like, hey, you have a camel toe, you look at me and you say, I don't care. So you've conditioned me,
right,
that you don't care, even if your, you know, jeans are right up, defining a camel toe that is recognizable from the top of the Empire State Building. You've looked at me and like, I don't care, quit looking at my twat. So I just assumed that me suggesting the headband looked like hammered dog shit, that you would say, I don't give a shit, let's record. So
right.
I just...
The Daffy lips.
You do hate a yak mouth. So I didn't yak.
That would have been criticism that I would have welcomed.
But now you're a victim.
I'm a victim.
Of me when you're the offender, but whatever. All
right. Right.
What's going on? What have you had it with? What's going on? Besides you picking on me and lying and saying I'm mean to you. I called you last night just to tell you how much I loved you.
You did, and that was so sweet, and I love you too.
Okay. All right.
Okay. So what I've had it with is people disciplining other people's children. For example, I was reading an article in the British Mirror where this 65...
Stop. Just real quick. The last few times you've mentioned articles, it's like UK tabloid press. Since your ass went viral there, is this where you frequently read?
Yes. I've gone completely British news because okay. of the famousness of my ass.
Okay. All right. Right. Proceed.
Well, you know I watch BBC too.
I do too. Okay, go on. Okay. We love you, UK. Okay, go on.
So this woman was at a pub with her family. They'd been at the beach all day, and her kids were giggling, recounting some stories. And the 65-year-old man turned around and told her little child to shut up. I mean, I was jaw-dropped by that. I mean, that is horrible. I just have had it with, I mean, I get, like, we don't like playing peekaboo with kids and, you know, kids are obnoxious and all that, but we never, like, are mean to kids.
Right.
I don't know. I might have just really bowed up.
Well, I'll tell you a time that an adult kind of trolled my kids. So we went to an Oklahoma City Thunder versus LA Lakers game at the Staples Center in LA.
Okay.
Okay. We're sitting courtside right behind the Thunder, and we're so excited to be there. My kids are like full-blown NBA obsessed.
Right.
Thunder's crushing LA.
So this was a while ago.
Yeah. So we're cheering and having a great time. My oldest son, Dylan, in particular, is like a walking Wikipedia of NBA stats. So he's like in hog heaven. So he's cheering, jumping up and down. And this asshole, like three seats over, to Dylan, who at the time is like 14 or 15 years old, And Dylan's like going, yeah, let's go. You know, way to go, Russ. Come on, Thunder. I mean, just basic chants that right. you would hear at a sporting event. This guy like loses his shit and he goes, oh, yeah, Oklahoma City, fuck y'all. Fuck that. Do you see all those flags up there? How many rings you got? How many championships you got? And he's like going off on Dylan. And Dylan kind of like, I'm sitting down, I'm cheering, but I'm not as into it as Dylan.
Right.
Dylan's like kind of drops his jaw and he looks over at me and I'm like, hey, bro, you're saying this to like a 15-year-old. Do you feel like a fucking tough guy now? And so then he kind of like, he calms down and then I just immediately evil eye him the rest of the game.
Oh, for sure.
I'm just sitting there like with my arms crossed, just like, come on. Like yeah. you messed with my cub.
Right.
Who's at a basketball game cheering for his team.
Which is what you're supposed to do as a fan.
And this guy is acting like such a dick. It's unbelievable. And let me just say that this guy for sure has never played a game of basketball in his life.
Oh, for sure. They're the worst ones, I feel like.
Resting heart rate 130, 140, possibly. And he's all wound up at a teenager. It was a big deal for us. Like, we sure. went to the Staples Center. We followed the team. Like, we were so excited. And this guy, you know, is just such a dick. So I've experienced that before. However, I will say, I've wanted to tell a lot of kids to shut up in person.
I've wanted to tell 1,000 kids to shut up in person, uh-huh. but I don't do it no, because I don't they're either. Kids.
Right.
And typically, especially with a smaller child, like the situation with Dylan, sounds like he was a butthurt loser, period, full stop, because you're at a sporting event. You're supposed to be loud.
Right.
But I think somebody that just goes bananas on a kid, the problem is not with the kid. If the kid's acting up, it's the parent's problem, then they're not taking care of it.
Right.
But in a situation where your kid's just being a normal kid, I just think that's horrible.
Yeah. Most of the time I'm anti-kids, like in the instance where playgrounds are being taken over by pickleball players.
Right.
I'm pro pickleball players. Kids being assholes on airplanes. I'm pro whatever we have to do to shut them up. In this instance, I'm going to be pro kids.
But you would not, even on a plane, if a kid kicked your back the whole time, you would not say one word. You might.
No, I have.
But you wouldn't be ugly. You wouldn't say, no, shut up.
But I have had kids kicking me, and I turn around and I say, hi, do you mind not kicking the back of my seat? I'm trying to take a nap.
Right. Which I think that's entirely appropriate.
Right.
But I'm just saying, like, you would never say shut up, even to your own kids.
I've probably told my kids to shut up before.
I mean, I know.
I know that you have.
I know, a couple times.
I've heard you tell your kids, shut up and quit acting like dicks. I've actually heard that come out of your mouth.
But it's more like, I always, like, I'll tell them, you're acting so weird. Stop.
Oh, no. I've heard, shut up. You guys are dicks. I've heard
that. No. I for sure do that. Yeah. But it's not like, I mean, maybe it is.
It's not like listener. We're not like these sanctimonious. Like, right. Of course, as a parent and when you're around kids, you lose your temper sometimes.
Right.
And it's like, oh, my God, you're driving me crazy. Shut up. That happens. That's normal.
Yeah.
It's just this concept that kids have to be around pleasantry all the time is total bullshit. It's total bullshit. You haven't lived by it. I haven't lived by it. It's an impossible, bar to parent by. I mean, yes. It's absolutely impossible.
Right.
But if I was at a bar and somebody told my kid to shut up, I'd mouth off. I mean, there's just no doubt.
No doubt. I'd probably end up in a fist fight.
I'd like to see that.
I don't think I'd be very good in a fist fight. I think I'm a lot of big talk.
Yeah.
But I think if somebody hit me, I would just be like crying in the corner. So Janine, what have you had it with?
I have had it with the absolutely psychotic, hypocritical, schizophrenic driving patterns of myself.
I'm pretty bad about it too.
Let me give you an example.
Okay.
I was on my way here to record this podcast. I'm running a little late. I'm behind. I'm working at my other job and trying to drive to this job.
Just for the permanent record, I want to say that I was here on time and you were late. Just so everybody.
Right. But right now, Jennifer Welch Designs pays everybody's payroll. So Jennifer Welch Designs.
That's right.
It was a payday today and I had to be there. So anyway, I am driving here and there's a person that's making a left turn at an unprotected green light. So it's not a green arrow. It's just the green light. So they're okay. Oncoming traffic can come and they have to turn when there's an opening.
Right.
I immediately feel like the person that's making this left turn, because I'm going straight, is doing it on purpose.
Right.
To make me late and to piss me off.
Right.
I feel like, God damn it, you just have to take a fucking left turn and I'm in a huge hurry. And I think that they have literally, this person that doesn't know me.
Right.
That doesn't know that I'm behind them.
Correct.
Is intentionally taking this left turn that takes a long time to take just to dick me right.
It's
over.
Personal.
What about
it's a personal attack?
What about that level of narcissism when it comes to driving? Another example is like somebody can be on their phone at a stoplight and I just simply don't use my phone when I'm in the car. I think it's selfish. I think with, you know, all the accidents that can happen, I'm just like, I'm not using my phone in the car. So somebody's on their phone at a red light, light turns green, 3 seconds pass. And so I'm laying on the horn.
Yeah.
And then they're like, you know, I'm sorry. And I'm like, yeah, you know, get off your phone. I'm saying this in my head, you know, like fucking schmuck. I mean, come on, let's go. If I'm the person that's in front of them and I'm like daydreaming, listening to a song, looking out, and they have to honk at me, that complete opposite reaction. I'm like, hey, calm down. Cool your jets. It's not that big of a deal. It was just 2 to 3 seconds. I am a fucking psychopathic, schizophrenic, hypocritical driver. Everything that I get irritated at, I do.
Yeah.
Everything I do, I get irritated at when other people do it. So I've had it with the schizophrenic impulse, psychoticness of myself when driving automobiles.
No, I think that is relatable. This morning I was going downtown to the courthouse and exact same thing happened. The person in front of me was on their text. The lights were turning green.
Right.
And they were sitting there. I blew my horn 3 times yeah. in 4 blocks.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and then the next thing I know, I'm sliding into the other lane because I'm looking at something on my phone, which I'm super guilty of. I know you're not guilty of it, but I personally am the worst about using my phone. Like if I'm sitting at a stop sign, I do it all the time where somebody has to honk at me, but it makes me crazy. Like I want to give them the double birds,
right?
Tell them to go fuck themselves. I don't feel like it's personal as much as I feel like you're just a horrible human being.
I somehow personalize this shit, which is clearly narcissism. But here's another example. Like if there's a school zone and you have to slow down to 20, okay,
right.
If the person in front of me slows down to 19 to 20, in my mind, I'm like, oh, look at the show off. Look
for
at
sure.
the rule follower. What a fucking dork. What a loser going 19 to 20 in a school zone.
You just don't want to hit a kid.
Right. So then if I'm not in a hurry and I'm listening to a great song
yeah.
and then the school lights are on and I decide to be a rule follower, I think, boy, am I just an upstanding citizen
right.
in this? I'm crushing this fucking school
right.
zone. I'm a fucking psycho.
Yeah. I think driving brings out like really bad in all of us, especially the school zone, because if I'm in a hurry, I'm just like you. I am like topping it out about 30, furious at the person in front of me.
Yeah.
But if I'm not in a hurry, if I'm like running early to something, then I'm the slowest person. And I think, oh, I bet the people behind me are in a hurry and hate my guts.
But I never think about other people's feelings when I'm driving. That's what I'm saying. Like
There's a narcissism in that.
Yeah, no, I do. Now, let me just say, like, if I'm on the highway, I am not going to grandstand in the fast lane. I only use that for passing.
Right.
I'm not going to be one of these people that does, you know, the speed limit in the fast lane.
No,
talk
I hate
about
those
a
people.
Fucking dork. Who goes the speed limit in the fast lane on the fucking highway? Dorks. And losers.
Right. No one on the planet
had it.
Except I always think the person's got to be like old, like grandma.
No, I pass these people in the slow lane and I look and it's all types of people. It is
right.
not. I love to blame shit on older people. This is not the case because I've seen, you know, 80-year-olds pass me.
Right.
So this is not the case. There are offenders, stupidity across the age gap on this. This is not an old person problem.
And here's what I don't understand about people that pass in the slow lane. You're in the fast lane. You're passed in the slow lane. Is that not a moment of self-awareness?
Apparently not.
Apparently not. Like, I would think, oh my God, I should probably get over. People are passing me from the slow lane. Mm-hmm. But no, they just keep on keeping on.
Well, I would like to welcome everybody to I've Had It Podcast. This is a podcast where we are getting to the deep, dark bottom of all the shit that's wrong with people.
While also understanding that we are offenders.
Complete hypocrites on basically every episode, every issue that we bring out, more than likely we do. But that's neither here nor there. Let us stay on topic. This is not a psychological case study on the hosts of this podcast.
Right.
This is just a psychological case study on the fuckery in the general public. Whether we are participants or not, that's neither here nor there. Okay. I'm Jennifer.
I'm Angie.
We call her Pumps. And I'm just going to say I do stand by that she is the star of the show.
Even though there's lots of comments for you to be the star. And Kylie.
I know, but you know how humble I am. I mean, I saw every single one of those comments on Apple, on YouTube, on TikTok, on Twitter, and so Instagram. I saw them all.
Do you screenshot them? And
I'm not here to take a victory lap. Right. I am here to say you are the star of our show. And I would also like to bring to the listeners' attention that Kylie is here with us. Richard is here with us. Kylie, speaking of comments on social media, what's going on? You run I've Had It. You're the one who made us go viral. What's going on? What is the beat on the ground?
The beat that I want to focus on today is Pumps and her lesbian arc.
Let's hear it.
We got a tweet yesterday from @sharkbit, I've Had It Podcast. Jennifer and her lesbian friend, Pumps, are hot shit.
I love it.
Oh my God, inject that tweet into my veins. Retweet. I'm going, the second we finish recording this, I'm going on Twitter and I'm going to retweet it.
For sure.
That is
good stuff.
That is a great tweet. Kylie, great find. And yes, Jennifer and her lesbian friend are fire and hot shit.
Okay, on your TikTok video about your lesbian wet dream.
Oh gosh, okay.
Tammy McNeil comments, if I wasn't happily engaged, I'd for sure take Pumps out and break her lesbian dating cherry.
Oh, I like that. That is so kind.
Tammy, she likes that. Listen up, listener. I'm constantly trying to stay hydrated. And unlike the star of our show, Pumps, I like to drink water instead of sweet iced tea. But water can become boring and monotonous and lacks flavor. Fortunately for me, I have discovered Hint Water. It is a pure water with fruit essences to create surprisingly accurate fruit flavors without any sugar, sweeteners, or calories. There are so many benefits to staying hydrated. Your skin looks and feels better. You have more energy. And those pickleball shots really bang, people, let me tell you. Hint is pure fruit-infused water. My favorite flavor is watermelon. Hint is available at retail and club stores across the U.S. And listen up, listener, this is special for you all. You can find Hint water at retail stores like Walmart, Target, and Kroger, or have it delivered directly to your front door from hintwater.com. New customers, that's you, listener, can get Hint for just $1 a bottle with free shipping when you order 3 cases. That's 36 bottles for $36 and free shipping. Just use code HADIT and you will be so hydrated like me and not like Pumps. You know, Pumps, I think I want to try to smell better naked. And let's face it, our underarms aren't the only places that we have odor. That's why I'm so excited to tell you about Lumi Whole Body Deodorant for pits, privates, and beyond. As you know, I play a ton of pickleball, so I'm sweating constantly because I am such an elite athlete. Lumi was created by an OBGYN who discovered and proved in clinical testing that the vagina is not to blame for day-to-day odor below the belt. So she developed Lumi, a uniquely formulated pH-balanced deodorant. It's aluminum-free, and for our UK listeners, that's aluminium-free, skin-safe, and clinically proven to control odor up to 72 hours. Listener, today is your day because you can choose from three scents: clean tangerine, lavender sage, or toasted coconut. Lumi's starter pack is perfect for new customers. It comes with a solid stick deodorant, cream tube deodorant, two free products of your choice, like a mini body wash and deodorant wipes, and free shipping. As a special offer for our listeners, new customers get $5 off a Lumi starter pack. Use code HADIT at LumiDeodorant.com. That's LumiDeodorant.com. That equates to over 40% off your starter pack when you visit LumiDeodorant.com. And don't forget to use code HADIT. Well, Pumps, we have a really big day today.
I mean, it's an exciting day at I've Had a Podcast.
Here's the deal. We're hot shit because we have international listeners. And then sometimes we have guests that confirm our hot shitness.
Right.
And today's guest is nothing further than confirmation as to what a big fucking deal and how hot shit we are.
Because he is definitely hot shit.
He's hot shit. He's coming on our podcast. Our podcast is hot shit. You're hot shit. I'm hot shit. Kylie's hot shit. Richard's hot shit. It's hot shit city at I've Had It Podcast. Period.com. End of story.
Right.
Without further ado, let me introduce the design expert and Emmy nominated host of Netflix Queer Eye. Let's welcome Bobby Burke to I've Had It.
Yay!
Okay, Bobby, welcome to I've Had It. How are you?
Good. How are y'all?
We're great. I love the y'all.
It's my Texas roots coming out.
Yeah, we're big y'allers.
Get a couple drinks in me or on the phone with my mama and y'all will really hear it.
Oh, yeah. We're in Oklahoma City right now and that's where we live. And so we are big offenders of the word y'all.
I'm a big y'aller.
Well, I grew up in Texas and Missouri, so like right on each side of y'all. So
Well, Bobby, you know, I don't know if you know much about us, but this is a podcast where we are exposing everyday frustrations and everyday fuckery that happens with the general public. And the name of this, as you know, is I've Had It. And so we just right out of the gates, we want to hear what you've had it with.
I mean, my biggest thing that I've had it with is people that are just unaware. You know, the people in the grocery store that when they go off to look for something, just leave their cart in the middle of the aisle in the narrowest part they possibly can, just thinking, it's fine. Everyone can go to another aisle. Or, you know, the people who are turning left on the road and there's a left turn lane, yet they've got their car's ass in the middle lane still too, being like, I can take up two lanes. So just people that are super, super unaware of everybody else around them, or maybe they are aware and they just don't give a fuck. And since you said fuck earlier, I'll go ahead and jump in on the fuckery too.
Yeah. No, this is something that is, I mean, a part of our mission statement here at I've Had It Podcast to expose, and we call it breathtaking unawareness. It kind of takes your breath away when you see it. Like, what about the person in the grocery store, their cart's in the middle, and then they're bending over to get something, and there's 4 inches of ass showing. That you didn't want to see.
Honestly, it depends on the ass.
That's what I was going to say. It depends.
Maybe they are aware and they're very aware.
Right. I always think you've got to feel the air on your crack.
Well, I would think that, but when I spot you having camel toe and I say you have camel toe.
But there's no air in the camel toe.
Right, but there's a seam going up your vagine.
That is a country song right there. They've got to feel the air on their crack.
That's right.
They gotta feel the air on the crack blowing like their mama's whack.
Oh my gosh, you're a good singer.
Yeah.
All these talents.
That is impressive.
Yeah, I think for me, I'm just like, I'm such a hyper aware person, like too much so. I actually wish I wasn't, because I sometimes drive myself to the point of insanity by being super hyper aware. Like, I remember years ago when my husband and I would lived in New York, like I'm a very fast walker, and we would just be strolling along on our day off, and I would still be, you know, on an LA run, a New York walk. And my husband would be like, why are you walking so fast? We don't have anywhere to be. And I'm like, well, you know what? There are 18 million people behind me that do have somewhere
right,
to be.
Right.
I will not be the person that makes them miss their train.
Right. I love that.
No, I'm with you. And I'm an interior designer as well. And so maybe it's just like our attention to detail in everything. I'm so overtly aware of what I'm doing and if it could impede on somebody else's space or, mm-hmm. and then if I happen to be a violator, I'm immediately like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Like overly apologizing to the person for the violation.
You go Canadian on them, huh?
Totally. I go full Canada. So speaking of like unaware, there's a really funny story so about a year and a half ago, my oldest son, he was moving to Syracuse to be a freshman at Syracuse University. So I called Pumps, and this is the greatest thing about Pumps. Like, she's a friend that you can call and say, hey, I'm moving Dylan to Syracuse. Do you want to come and help? And she's like, oh my God, absolutely. I would absolutely love to do it. And when she says she would love to help, she means it. And then when you get her there, she's an incredible helper. She'll box, she'll clean with a smile. And she's like, oh my God, Dylan, I'm so excited to see you. She's a former sorority girl. So it's like, oh my God, this is so great. This is amazing. So we're moving into the dorm and we go downstairs to the mail room because I'd shipped some stuff from Amazon to arrive. So we go downstairs and there's this little like probably junior at Syracuse, little whippersnapper.
I can't believe you're telling this.
And I said, hey, I need to pick up something for Dylan Welch's room 649. And she like looked at Pumps and me and she goes, are you guys students? And we're like, no.
Obviously.
You're like, but thank you.
So then she's like, well, only the student can pick up the package. And I'm like, okay. So we turn around. So Pumps has gone from, I'm here to help, rah, rah, sis, boom, bah, let's go, Dylan. And then all of a sudden she activates Pumps savage mode. And she goes, maybe if that girl would quit being a cunt and get some awareness, she'd realize that we weren't in fact students. And I'm like falling over on the campus of Syracuse, crying, laughing, because she's just like completely given me whiplash from like, she's excited and, you know, invigorated and rah, rah, let's go Orange Syracuse, to calling college students cunts, just casually.
I
mean,
I think we're going to be fast friends.
I do too.
Because that is a word I use a lot in my car in LA.
Yes.
Oh, I bet.
And a friend of mine was visiting the other day and in the car with me for quite some time. She was like, you know what? I just didn't realize there were so many stupid cunts in LA. Apparently, everyone you pass is a stupid cunt. Yeah.
Oh, I have my 18-month-old, my youngest child, he was 18 months. We were going into the doctor's office and I stopped to let people go and he goes, go, stupid, go. And I was like, oh gosh, he's heard me say that, calling everybody stupid. I mean, he was just so happy to call him stupid. Barely could talk, but able to say stupid.
Yeah, I just, the idiots on the road. Again, it's just that they think they're the only person on the road and that nobody else has anywhere to be but them.
Yes.
The other day, I was on the way to a doctor's appointment. And there was a car broken down on the right lane. So I was trying to get over in the left lane and also to get out of the way of people who were trying to turn right at the street before. And there was this woman with a full car length in front of her, making it impossible for me to scoot over in the left lane. So I did the polite little like, beep, beep, like, hey, you probably don't notice that you have a full car length. Go ahead. So I did beep, beep. And I just kind of went like, you know, hi, can you move up a little bit? And she's like, does one of these numbers in her rearview mirror. And so I was like, and she was like, you know,
the double bird
in her mirror. And I was like, fuck you, bitch. And so she was like, and she gets out of her car And so, of course, I instantly pick up my phone, like, and I start recording her. And she's like, I'm calling the police. And I was like, you're calling the police for what? Because I honked at you and called you a stupid bitch?
What a titty, like, baby.
Yes, I'm calling the police. You're violent. I was like, please do call the police. And I made sure I was loud enough. And she's on the phone with 911. I can hear her talking with them. I was like, call the police. So that way, when they get here, they can see that you are filing a false fucking 911 call because somebody honked at you and hurt your feelings. I'm like, are you for real? And I could, and the person on the other line clearly was like, man, what's going on? And she was like, no, no, he's being violent. He's being violent. He can just honk at me.
This is so what beats a like, bitch right there.
I my car enough out of the way to just go to my appointment, but she made me late.
This is what we call a titty baby. I mean, right. This is a titty baby. She was not paying attention to how much space she had. She's spatially unaware, which is unacceptable. You remind her, you know, let's nudge forward. And then all of a sudden she's a victim. And then just the histrionics,
right,
of calling the police. So back to the word cunt really quick. I just want to revisit this because in London,
I picked that one up from Tan, the British cunt.
Yeah. So that's what I was bringing up is in the UK, they use cunt in a way that Pumps and I, and maybe you can join us in this. Mm-hmm. We want to make it more mainstream, right, in the United States. So my husband and I were in Hyde Park, and he has a breathtaking level of lack of self-awareness. It drives me fucking crazy.
Same with my husband.
So we're walking, and the part of the sidewalk is for pedestrians. The other part is for bicyclers, and the British are fucking psychos about their bikes, right? Mm-hmm. So Josh kind of steps over into the bike lane right as the cyclist is coming by, and the cyclist immediately calls Josh a fucking cunt. And I was like, I love this city. I love this country.
What a move here.
Long live the king. Long live the queen. What do I need to do? I mean, I immediately was like, I fucking love these people. I mean, I didn't think like, oh, I've got to defend Josh. I was like, he is a cunt. I appreciate that. It was a totally like unaware move on his part. I loved it.
Tan, I remember the very first day of auditions, he kept using cunt. Cunt this, cunt that. And finally, I like pulled him aside and I was like, girl, I'm like, you have got to stop saying cunt so much. This is not the UK. Like, that is a word. Like at that point, like where we were doing auditions, like the whole panel we were in front of was all female. And I was like, some of them might be cool with it, but some of them might be getting really offended. And I'm like, your cute little British accent only goes so far when you use it every other.
I love that. Okay. I want to talk about next something that when I read your bio that I think is super duper interesting. So you were raised in the Bible Belt, mm-hmm, in a very religious culture. Mm-hmm. And obviously we live in the Bible Belt, and I was raised with like no religion at all, which is very strange for somebody.
Lucky you.
I know. It was very, very awesome. But
lucky you to not have like
been indoctrinated
and guilt and like all this, right, weird stuff impressed upon you as a child.
Yes. But one thing that I have always found so disturbing living here. So I had a friend about 15 years ago, and I didn't have kids at the time, but she did. And it was very obvious to me that her son was gay, and he was like 10 or 11, but she was pretty religious, and it was kind of overtly religious. So she said to me one time, we're having coffee, and she's like, you know, I've just told him, if you ever think you're gay, that's just the devil. That's just Satan. And I said to my friend, that's kind of child abuse to say that. Like, you shouldn't say that to him. Like, threaten him with that. I think that's really damaging.
I heard that all the time growing up, but yeah.
Really? I want you to share with our listener a little bit about your childhood and your journey. And one question, because I want to ask it now in case I forget. After you went through what you went through in your childhood, do you think that your homosexuality saved you from that kind of life that you could have had? And you can get to that answer as you tell us about your story.
Did it save me from still being in Mount Vernon with like 9 kids and a wife I hate? Absolutely. Oh, Lord. Yeah, I mean, I grew up Assemblies of God, you know, and I categorize that as like the worst of the worst.
And they're the tongue talkers, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. They're the the Pentecostal denomination that they even think Baptists are going to hell.
Oh, Catholics wow.
going to hell. Mormons are going to hell. Presbyterians, Lutherans, anybody that is not the exact flavor of Christian that they are is going to hell.
Right.
It's crazy. Like, I remember growing up and like wanting to go to church with a friend who went to a Baptist church, and my parents would be like, oh my God, no, you can't go to a Baptist church. No. They will indoctrinate you too, and you'll end up in hell. Like, they dance. So it's just, again, you are made to believe that only the way that preacher up there and your parents teach you, that is the only way you will have eternal life. That is the only way you will not burn in hell. Even the people who are also Christians, you know, per se, even the way they do it is going to send you to hell. So it doesn't shock me at all that evangelicals are like the biggest MAGAs out there.
Right.
Because young age, they are taught to believe what that preacher says is the only truth.
Right.
It doesn't matter if some other church is like, oh, well, maybe this guy that's married to like a prostitute and a stripper and like has, you know, done all these other crazy things. Maybe he's not the Messiah, you know, maybe he's not a good Christian president. But no, they are brainwashed
right.
to only believe what their denomination tells them. So it's, when back in 2016, everyone was like, oh, there's no way he's going to win. There's no way he's going to win. I'm like, oh, he's going to win. Absolutely right. going to win. Because I grew up in that mindset around those people. And they believe, they're brainwashed from a young age. And again, you didn't grow up in church. So you won't, but people that are listening that grew up in church, it's, you got to have faith.
Right.
So the moment you question anything, you're bad. Oh, no, you don't have faith. So you're on your way to hell if you don't
right.
have faith.
What amazes me, so obviously I grew up in the suburbs of Oklahoma City. So I was like, I'm probably still on so many prayer warrior lists, but I was like prime for evangelicals to recruit, because that's a huge part of their religion is the recruiting aspect of it. And so yeah. I tried because I wanted to fit in, because all of my friends were like super Bible thumpers and, you know, it was Fellowship of Christian Athletes. And I tried around like middle school, high school, but I was never like truly indoctrinated. And so
but you weren't brainwashed as a child.
Right. So I approach most religions the same way people approach Greek mythology. They all equally sound kind of ridiculous, you know, like Noah being 900 years old. Kangaroos.
No, that was Methuselah, and he was 969.
But what amazes me about it as a non-religious person is how much focus is put on others, either recruiting others to join, or who's Bobby fucking, who's Pumps fucking. It's never seems to be about how do I make myself a better person and mind right. my own fucking business.
It is
the biggest busybody, misery loves company, who's fucking who club I've ever seen in my life. And I fucking had it. I have had it.
Totally.
Freedom
agree.
Of speech right. and freedoms if you're a white Christian.
Right.
Everybody else, no. Everybody else's mere existence is coming for their freedom.
Right,
like
right.
existing, me being loving someone, being able to marry who I want, that's not coming for your freedom.
That's yeah, exactly that's right.
Yeah, yep.
That's it.
Care of is a sponsor of today's episode. Jennifer, as you know, about 2 years ago, I had an aha moment when it came to my health and wellness routine.
Oh, I remember.
Care of is a subscription service I started using that ships high-quality personalized vitamins, supplements, and powders directly to my door every month. What makes Care of so unique to me is that the packs and vitamins are personalized after you take an in-depth short quiz.
Amazing.
It's idiot-proof. I have incorporated Care of products in my daily life and wellness routine and have actually noticed a big difference in my energy level and my skin's vibrance.
Oh, I've noticed as well. I mean, you are the star of the show.
If you are ready to make a change in your wellness routine, give Care of a try. For our listeners, they will get 50% off your first Care of order if you go to takecareof.com and enter code HADIT50. That's takecareof.com and enter code HADIT50 today.
Our next partner is Athletic Greens. I take AG1 by Athletic Greens literally every day. I gave AG1 a try because I'm an avid pickleball player. Let's face it, people. I take AG1 in the afternoon right before my pickleball match, and it makes me feel unstoppable. It makes me feel ready to go. It makes me feel like I'm doing something great for my body. I'm giving my body the nutrition it craves, like I'm covering my nutritional bases. It is the healthiest thing you can do in under a minute. AG1 gives you increased energy and mood support and makes it easier to live your best life, and in my case, to be the best pickleball player. If you're looking for an easier way to take supplements, Athletic Greens is giving you a free one-year supply of vitamin D and five free travel packs with your first purchase. So go to athleticgreens.com/hadit. That's athleticgreens.com/hadit. You got to check this stuff out, listener.
Today's episode is supported by Honeylove. Jennifer, I don't know if you noticed, but I looked extra svelte in New York City.
I thought you looked like a million bucks.
Thank you. The reason for that is I have discovered a new compression shapewear that is absolutely comfortable and does its job. Listeners, Honeylove is just as easy to put on as it is to take off. Shapewear shouldn't be hard. They have amazingly comfortable bras, tanks, and leggings for everyday support. Listeners, Honeylove is the shapewear that I love. Whether it's for a wedding, event, or an everyday boost of confidence, Honeylove is the perfect plus one. Treat yourself to the best shapewear on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com with the code HADIT. That's 20% off at honeylove.com with the code HADIT.
Now let's lighten it up a little bit since we've solved the world, the country's problems. Thank you, Bobby. Okay, Bobby, it's time to play our game, Had It or Hit It.
Oh my God. Welcome to Had It or Hit It. I would hit it.
Had it.
Had it. I hit it every day, sometimes twice a day.
Had It or Hit It, silk flowers.
Had it.
I've had it. Absolutely had it. Pumps, tell them about the time that we met.
Okay, so the first time I met Jennifer, she was coming over to my house, and I was redoing like the ground floor kitchen.
It was a hookup?
She wanted it to
I wanted it to be.
See the gay agenda? See how they push it?
Right. Uh-huh. I would be her wife tomorrow.
I am really trying with this gay agenda. Kylie and I are with Pumps. But anyway, proceed.
Okay, so she walks in my house, and I hadn't met her before, and she comes in, and she's like, I said, I don't give a shit about
you. You look just like your pictures. Sorry, I won't interrupt.
No. I said, I don't really care. Like, just do what you think. I'm not real into it. I wouldn't even notice probably. And she goes, well, I can tell that because you have silk flowers in your entry hall on your dining room table. And then you have a picture. The only thing worse than silk flowers is pictures of silk flowers. And you've got both right here in the front room. And I was like head over heels in love immediately.
Or word art.
Word art is terrible. It is a red flag.
I walked into my desert home the other day. And again, we Airbnb it out when we're not using it. And I walk in and like, this house has been an architectural digest. Like it is very tastefully done.
Right.
Walk in the kitchen and on the ledge above the stove, there is a word art that says laugh.
Oh,
that
had it.
Somebody, some guest had brought and put it up there, and the management company just left it there, thinking it was part of the decor, even though they're there multiple times a week and should know better. And I walked in and I gasped. I was like, like no. A big gay gasp. Like, and I went over and I grabbed it and I threw it in the trash.
No, it's word art. I cannot stand. I hate the hashtag blessed or the use of the word blessed or blessed blessings. It makes
unless it's in the sentence, bless your heart.
That's no, correct.
I do love that.
That's correct, which is also go fuck yourself, as the three of us know. But when people say, we are so very blessed, I'm just like, shut the fuck up. I've had it. And word art is awful. Okay. Had it or hit it. Hit it, meaning you will love it, Bobby. Starbucks.
Hit it. Yeah. Although I think yesterday was the first time I'd had it in months. I don't drink a lot of coffee anymore.
Oh.
I used to. No, I've kind of moved on to Celsius, which is probably not great either, but.
The caffeinated Like,
yeah, it's an energy drink.
Oh, okay.
But I wouldn't put it in the same category as like a Red Bull or a Rockstar or something. Like, it doesn't smell like drunken desperation.
A non-white trash energy drink.
Yeah,
kind of a gay energy drink. A gay energy drink.
Yeah, if you drink enough of them, you'll be gay. Pumps is going to have one more, and she's just going
to
be like,
right, I need to buy some.
Okay, Bobby, had it or hit it, influencers.
Had it. Had it.
I've had it.
I've had it. You know, there are some good ones out there. The ones I've had it with, though, are the ones that produce these so overly staged videos that they try to pass off as real. And I'm like, are you that big of an idiot? Or do you just think everyone else is that big of an idiot? They're going to believe this bullshit.
Right.
I think they do believe the bullshit, because I have a daughter in college. And I mean, she buys all that shit hook, line, and sinker.
I've had it with influencers, but I'm also a part of the problem because I hate follow a few. So
I don't think I follow. Maybe.
I follow a couple. I do.
I don't.
Had it or hit it, karate chopped pillows.
I had it.
Same. Yeah. I had it.
Although you will see me often on Queer Eye doing some karate chopped pillows, but that's just because we need a shot of me doing something. And that's the quickest and easiest thing to do before the hero walks through the door.
And it looks very designer. I'll tell you what I've started to do. I just did an install before I came here. So I chop because I started designing in the 90s. And so that's when I started my career. I'm much younger than Pumps, if you were curious.
Four years is not that much.
I chop and then I'm like, no, that's out now. And then I do a side chop. So you can add that to Career Now. Do a top chop, side chop. And then it makes the perfect, like, I had installed these mohair
perfect
pillows.
Little starfish.
Yes. It's like, and then push it a little bit so it's not too choppy. So you can add that kind of, and you could put a jazz hand at the end.
Do love a jazz hand.
Okay. Had it or hit it, as we head into Gay Pride Month, rainbow capitalism.
I mean, it's hard for me to say had it, because I've definitely benefited from that rainbow capitalism, but I definitely think that there are some companies that should learn that being an ally isn't just slapping a rainbow on something once every June. It's, you know, like Disney did, where they, you know, backed against the Don't Say Gay bill. It's about activism year round, not just once a month or once a year.
That's true.
Are the intentions always great? No, a lot of times the intentions are just to make money. But I think visibility is so, so important. And I think that rainbow capitalism gives people that hope.
They're making money off of everything. And we live in the biggest capitalistic market ever. Let's make sure we're making, if they're going to do it, let's make money off of the good fight instead of just being racist pricks. You know, like I'm far more down with that. I'm with you that I think there are kids that, you know, like the friend I told you who was telling her kid that it's, you know, if you're thinking about being gay, it's Satan, like that it's some sort of choice. That seeing that and knowing, okay, wait, something's wrong with my mom. I'm not the problem. Yeah. It's this archaic viewpoint that is the problem. So I think that that can really help.
Yeah, I do as well. And, you know, when I work with these companies and during Pride and stuff, I always make them do a large donation to a charity that I work with. I'm like, if you're going to make money off of us, you need to give that money back to us.
I agree. I think that's really good.
I think that's smart.
Bobby, I feel like we fucking crushed it. I feel like this was a slam dunk. I feel like we solved so many fucking problems today.
We have the most amazing charisma, uniqueness, nerve, and talent.
Well,
you know what that means?
Oh, I see you next Tuesday.
I love what that means.
Oh. On RuPaul's Drag Race, she's always like, I want to see your charisma, uniqueness, nerve, and talent. And for like 20 seasons, no one ever realized that she's saying cunt, y'all. And I remember like 5-6 years ago, people finally started talking about it. They're like, oh my God, all these years, she's been saying cunt. And I was like, yeah, what's... Yeah, you dumb.
You're dumb. I have to say, I'm a huge Queer Eye fan. Huge. And I'll tell you what, like, I was thinking about, why do I love that show so much? Because I'm not a crier at movies or anything. I'm hard pressed to cry. But when I watch but when I watch those episodes, like the palpable change from, I don't like myself, I'm not comfortable in my own skin, I don't think I'm good enough, like it's palpable by the end that they do. And it's such a feel good that I kind of get teary a little bit.
Tell our listener, I think you have a book coming out. Can you tell our listener about your new book?
Yeah. So my new book comes out in September and it's available for pre-order now. And it's called Write at Home. You know, for years, people have been like, oh, you should do a design book or you should do a memoir. And like, when I do things, I want to do things to help people. And design books are beautiful. Don't get me wrong, right. But design books are expensive to produce.
Right.
Thus, they're expensive to sell. So, you know, pretty coffee table design books, not everybody can afford. And a pretty design book doesn't always necessarily really help people. So I decided to write a book about the intersection of mental health and design. Nice. And about how your home really affects every aspect of your life. And we dive into color theory and light and you know, feng shui and organization. And we really talk about how each and everything in your home, it really does affect your mental health. Like your home is like your phone charger. If you don't plug your phone in at night or that cord has a short in it, your phone's not going to make it through the next day because it didn't get fully charged.
Right.
Your home is your charger. You've got to really get fully charged when you're at home. So that way you can make it through life.
Right.
And that's what the book is all about, teaching people how to figure out what their style is and how to be okay with the fact that your style is your own. And it doesn't have to look like a magazine. It doesn't have to be what designers say it is. It's about the things, putting things in your home that make you happy.
I love that.
I completely agree. And I get interviewed, you know, from time to time, by interior design magazines, and they'll say, what are the hottest trends?
I hate that question
because number one, it's a trend. So I don't want to promote it because it's not going to be in for very much longer. And secondly, I always tell my clients, let's do what looks good and feels good for you. Like that's what's going to look best in this situation. So I'm so glad that you're addressing that because I think so many people, when it comes to projecting their personality and how they feel onto their home, it's very emotional. And, you know, we're kind of interior designers / psychologists / marriage counselors.
Which is why I don't take a lot of individual personal homes.
Yes. I mean, and you know, you're guiding these people through this thing. And so it is a journey, which I've had it with the journeys, but that was a different episode. But I'm so glad that you're doing that. I cannot wait to get it.
I know. I'm excited.
Bobby, I cannot tell you how much I loved having you on and how much your personal story through, like, from your upbringing to being such an incredibly intelligent and engaging and great advocate for men, women, boys, girls that have gotten out of an abusive religious situation, and that you call it as such, because I believe that it is, and that you're helping other people that are in that situation by saying, hey, you can get out of this and you can have an amazing life. And I feel that in my bones and it makes me so happy.
Thank you. Thank you.
Lots of admiration, not just for your talent, but your story and how you've overcome it. It's really impressive.
Yes. Bobby, thank you so much for telling us what you've had it with. And we are going to be much better people in the grocery stores with our shopping carts.
Yeah, because I'm kind of an offender on that, I was thinking.
Bobby, thank you so, so much. Have a wonderful week and good luck with your book and the new season of Queer Eye. We're big fans.
So fun to have you on. You're a blast. Thanks so much.
Bye.
Okay. The hot shit tour just continues.
I mean, he's the best. I love him.
I personally like so much how outspoken he is.
Agree.
So I really love that. I love him. And I just think this is so fun to have such a cool guy on our pod.
So cool. I just really like him. He's fun and sweet and he's great at what he does.
Please go give us a 5-star review. And we are passionate about supporting marginalized people. If you don't like that, go listen to a different podcast. We're not for you. Okay.
You're in the wrong place.
Follow us. Oh, follow us on Patreon. That's where we're talking about the pumps, lesbian shit. Right.
Which is okay. Whatever.
All right. Anyway,
we will see you next Tuesday.
See you next Tuesday. Bye, listener.
I've had it with. Let's hear it. I've had it with that. I'm John Glover.
Emmy Award-winning researcher John Glover, and I'm Marissa Pinson.
Critically unacclaimed TV writer Marissa Pinson.
Aw. And we're the hosts of the new podcast, On Brand with John and Marissa.
Join us every week for an exploration of the world's most interesting and iconic brands, like Walmart.
Do they still have the old people who say welcome to Walmart?
No, they got rid of them. So you just want more old people in the store?
I want every staff member to be over 90. And Heinz.
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 Heinz. I say Heinz. Like a German dictator.
And while you learn about these legendary brands, you'll also learn a bit about us. Hey, John, do you still sleep in shoes?
There's probably, I would say probably 3 times a year I fall asleep in shoes.
You told me the thing that you should never look under a Costco chicken.
Well, I don't think you should ever look under a chicken. So tune in every Wednesday for a brand new episode of On Brand with John and Marissa.
Available May 24th wherever you get your podcasts. See you there.